Okay, I'm here with emerging artist Chris Biano. Is that how you pronounce
That's it?
That's
it. Okay. Got it.
First off, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Texas, southeast Texas, a little town called Beaumont.
Oh, yeah. A lot of big names from Beaumont.
Yes, a lot of big names from Beaumont. Small place, but there's a lot of pride there. And so I grew up in Texas and then made my way right after college up to Nashville.
Okay.
And, I've been here trying to do country music and got my first guitar when I was 15 from my dad. He bought it as a Christmas present. The funny part of it is that I open up this guitar and it's an electric guitar in a box with a built-in speaker on it. So it was like a $20 garage sale guitar, you know what I mean? You turn it on, it sounds terrible, and you're like, what am I doing? But the funny part of it is that that's what changed my life, because before that I hadn't really considered it. And so he bought it and said, hey, I know you've been wanting a guitar, and I was like, what? Got the guitar, man, and it was history from there. A few months later, my mom got me my first acoustic, and then that was the first time she was actually like, oh, you sound pretty good. And I'm like, well, yeah, because this distortion on, you know, you put a battery in that thing. That's how bad it was. So, but yeah, man, that's how kind of I got started in music and loving to write songs and play songs. So.
Awesome. All right. So you actually just released your debut single, Tackle Box.
I did.
The song has a lot of meaning to you. Tell us about the story behind that song, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So I wrote Tackle Box with a friend of mine named Brad Rimple, who's in a band called High Valley, who's doing some cool stuff. And we sat down, and I just wanted to write a song. I grew up doing a lot of fishing with my dad growing up. I think we all kind of have a thing we do with our families that we always remember, like whether that's crazy family vacations or sports games that all of our parents and me and my dad, we fished a lot. He had a pond right by his house, so that's kind of what we did all the time. And so he passed away about 4 years ago, and I wanted to write something that was honoring and of the good memories that I had and all the good stuff. And so sat down and we tried to do it, and Tackle Box came out, and it's just about the good memories you have with family members. And just released it last week, so I'm really excited about it.
How's the reception been so far? Like, country radio fans, how they like?
I mean, it seems to be good. We haven't really dove into the radio stuff yet. No, we're just doing publicists and getting the name out there and kind of working stuff from that angle.
Okay.
But as far as fans go, man, they've been really, really positive and you know, sometimes as an artist, you know, it's a way more vulnerable song, and it's also more of a ballad. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of people on your team will say, we need an up-tempo song about a girl. You know what I mean? That's what the girls want to hear. Yeah. So I kind of took the reins on and said, this is my heart, and this is what I want to do. This is what I want to release.
Yeah,
you got to take a chance and be yourself. And I can go to sleep at night if everybody hates it, because I love it, you know.
Right.
And so it's been cool to see people relate to it in their own way and to say, man, this is a great song. So it's been awesome.
Okay. Thank you for that. You've been producing a weekly web-based reality show titled Breaking Country.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit of what that's about and how you came up with that idea?
Yeah, totally. You know, creative content is kind of king. Everybody's putting out videos and covers and videos. There's videos everywhere. It's almost pictures or videos, or, you know, nobody even really reads little tweets anymore unless they got something connected to it. And so I really wanted a way for people and fans to see behind the curtain all the hard work it takes, you know, to make it in a place like Nashville in the country music industry. And I think a lot of it is overlooked. You know, we see the big names and the stars, and we don't see how they got there and all the hard work and effort it took and all the no's and all the closed doors and all the maybes and all the and it's an interesting city because there's so many people here that are so good at what they do and they want to do it, you know. And so I really wanted people to peek behind the door, and I ended up partnering with a marketing firm called Inside Marketing. And they're based in Franklin, which is right down the road.
Yeah.
And we signed a thing to do 20 episodes.
Okay.
And so the cool thing about Breaking Country is it looks like a TV show. Really? It's produced such a high quality, it looks like you would see it on CMT.
Okay.
So there's really great quality content. And then I have a few people that have been on the show, like Brian White, who's a legend in country music.
Yeah.
And then I have a guy named James, and he was on the previous season of The Bachelorette.
Okay.
And so he's my trainer, you know, he's all in shape, and he's kind of trying to help me navigate, and a few other people that you would recognize that, you know, kind of help me along my journey and kind of steer me in all the directions. And so 50% music and stuff, and then 50% life and chaos and everything else that goes around trying to be an independent artist and working and playing gigs and trying to make all the juggling make sense, you know.
Okay. Let's see. When looking at your list of influences on your Facebook page, there aren't really any country acts listed there. What made you decide to gravitate towards country music, like with your sound?
Yeah. So when it comes to country music, man, I love Dierks Bentley. He's my favorite. I love Tim McGraw too. He's a staple. You know. But growing up early on, what I found is I grew up and I listened to guys like Tim McGraw and then Alan Jackson and people like that. And then you kind of move into this middle school, high school, where you kind of just listen to what everybody's listening to and you don't really know like what you like, and you kind of listen to all this stuff. And right out of high school, I fell in love with guys like Tom Petty and John Mayer, who aren't traditional country, but they're incredible songwriters. And I think that's kind of organic instruments, songwriting is what I fell in love with. And so I did that for several years until I fell back in love with country music, and I thought, this is the only kind of music I want to do, because this is the only true to the art form, story first, real instrument music that you hear anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think being in Nashville, you fall so deep in love with it. It's everywhere, and it's just like so inspiring, and you write with people that have written some of these songs, and you know, right before I moved, I'm like, there's no turning back. This is everything. No plan B. This is what I want to do and what I want to be. And I think in a lot of ways, growing up, I never felt like I really had the country twang all the way down. You know what I mean? That wasn't necessarily my voice. And so I think I've gained more confidence because the genre's opened up a little bit. I mean, my single Tagbox is very country, steel guitars and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the genre's opened up to a little bit of room. You know what I mean? And so I think that that's definitely helped me feel confident and just live in my own shoes and say, you can do this.
Country music's broken down into a bunch of subgenres now.
Absolutely. Totally. And I don't think I don't go all the way to super pop. Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, man, that ain't even country. But it's definitely in the middle somewhere. Yeah. And that's where I think I really found my voice and to know that, like, yeah, this is what you should be doing.
Okay. What would you say are your biggest strengths and weaknesses as an artist?
That's a good question. I think my biggest weakness, and I think anybody on my team would tell you this too, is I don't really network very well. I have a really hard time with that. I'm the kind of guy who would rather sit down and write songs and produce songs and put them out and do this other stuff. And I have a hard time with, well, you need to be out here and you need to be out meeting these people and do all that. And Nashville's very big on that, 'cause it's very relational in a good way. Like, everybody knows everybody. So that's a hard one for me, to just make myself get out there and go do it. Now, when I'm meeting people and hanging out and doing shows and all that, it's my element, and I love it. I love people. It's not that. It's just you
more
feel
the social media side. That,
yeah, it's the part where you feel like you have to go meet for to further yourself. That's hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's just I love people, so I'm not trying to use people.
Right.
And not that anybody else is, but there's a fine line, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's a weakness, and a strength, I think, would be the video outlet side of things. Like, I really enjoy that. I like being on the camera and showing people an inside look at my life and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of artists don't want that, you know, especially starting out. They don't want you to see people saying no in your meeting or saying you're not good enough or whatever. And I'm kind of pretty comfortable with it and just like, you know what, you are where you are. And I think everybody in America at some point has been an underdog, and they know what it feels like to not have it all laid out, and it's like, that's okay. So I'm just trying to live in that, and I think that's going
to
become a strength.
Just like country music is
absolutely exactly. And so that's why I said, you know, somebody asked me, do you think you're being too vulnerable? And I said, oh no, I don't think you can. Like, is it scary to be vulnerable? Yeah, totally. Yeah. But just like when you open yourself up with a song, it's the same thing. Like, this is just life, and life isn't always 100 yeses. Everybody knows that. And so I think that's what's cool about the show, is people can root along with you and hope that you do win. You know what I mean? And when you fail, it's like they're with you. Like, man, dang, I don't know why that didn't work, but like, you'll get there, you know?
Yeah. Okay. What has been the biggest wow moment of your career so far?
Biggest wow moment of my career? Well, I have two. Well, one is being at CMA Fest this year. I mean, it's been amazing, and I haven't really had the opportunity or the chance or everything to work together to do it before. And so this has been like, for any artist, I think that's newer, this is it. It's like, I can't believe I'm here. I'm playing this. I'm going to be, you know, and so that's been really, really rad. And I tell the story every now and then. It's kind of like a secret, like, that I keep in my pocket to encourage me.
Okay.
I had a friend who took me backstage at the Opry one day when Dierks was playing, and he played a set, and of course I'm like loving it, you know. And And he comes off the stage, and my buddy says, hey, can I get a picture with you? He says, yeah, of course. And he goes, Chris, let's get in here. So I get in the photo, take a photo, and he looks at me, and he was like, did you play tonight? Were you playing tonight? And I was like, no, but thank you for even thinking that I belonged here in any way, form, you know, or fashion. So that's pretty huge, you know, because you feel like you, and like he saw something in you, you know what I mean? Even though he didn't even mean to, it was like, it was a big deal to me because I was like, man, maybe I do have something, you know what I mean? Like,
Dirks is one of the genuinely nicest guys in this town.
Yeah,
I meet him a couple times.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And his stuff is amazing, and he's just relevant and cool. And honestly, like, it's his voice. Like, I'm like, I'll trade you in a second. Just give me what you got. Yeah. I love it, man. So,
Outside of music, what is something that you're really passionate about?
Outside of music, what am I passionate about? A couple different things. I am a big Houston Rockets fan. So I love Houston Rockets. Grew up watching them my whole life. And I also love the Dallas Cowboys. Even though I'm from Houston, you would think, whoa, you're not a Texans fan?
Well, you lost the Oilers.
We lost the Oilers for so long that it's like, and my grandma, who I was really close to, she was the biggest Cowboy fan ever. You know, when you grow up and you don't even know what the Cowboys are, and you have pictures of a jersey and Troy Aikman's behind you on the TV or something, you know?
Right.
We have all those. Oh, so those are the two things that I love a lot, you know?
Okay. What is the number one item on your bucket list?
Man, that's a good one.
Hey, y'all, we're 7 Halo.
Man, what would be the number one thing on my bucket list?
Hey, y'all, we're 7 Halo, and you're watching the King Says Country Show. And here's our music video to our single, like that.
It's like such a big question, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, what do I, like, how in the world? Is it going to sound lame if I say this one or this one?
Let me rephrase it. What is your ultimate dream?
My ultimate dream.
Same question, just wording it differently to maybe help you trigger something in your mind.
Yeah, my ultimate dream. I mean,
how about I'll narrow it down a little bit. Musically, what is your
musically? I mean,
dream?
Dude, I tell people this in meetings. I say, do I want a record deal and all the stuff to help me be big? Yeah, but I want to sing my songs 300 days a year to whoever's listening. I mean, that is ultimately like my heart. It's like I want to go out and sing and connect with people. And if I could do that on a huge tour with some of my idols, like Dirks or Tim McGraw or somebody, like, yeah, like game over. Like, I can die tomorrow. Like, thank you for this, especially with everything in country music. But even above that, I think playing the Opry would be the biggest thing in my life. Like, I don't know if I could keep it together if I got a chance to step into the circle. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of country people, it's the same. You're just like, it's just that moment, like, where you feel like you've actually been accepted and recognized. And so I think that would be the pinnacle of all of it.
Absolutely. Okay. Every songwriter has their own unique way of creating a song, taking it from initial idea to a finished product.
Mm-hmm.
What's your process like?
My process most of the time is I try to have a title or an idea. So I try to come in with an idea with a group of guys or whatever, find the idea, and then work from there. And usually for me as a writer, I love melodies, so I try to do melodies and then sequence in some of the lyrics from there. But I found the most success with bringing the title and, honestly, a lot of personal experience. You know, Tackle Box, I mean, it was so personally put together that I knew that I could write it. I knew what I wanted to say. And I can get some of that influence through just driving down the road or reading a magazine or something. You can get kind of other people's experiences and stuff. But I've always found success with having an idea first.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of times when we don't, it's kind of like, well, what are you writing about? Like, what are you writing about that somebody would care to listen to with all the stuff on the radio and on TV and on the internet? It's like, I always want to write something that I'm like, this is said in a way for somebody to go, that's what I was trying to say, but he said it exactly, that's what I meant, you know?
Yeah. Okay, and last question I got here is, what advice would you give to aspiring artists trying to make it in the music business?
I would say, always stay humble. Learn right away to take constructive criticism. Learn that the people that are giving you the constructive criticism are only trying to help you. Right. And I think as artists, we can be really creative and, like, sensitive and vulnerable and, like, well, this is my song. Yeah. But I wish somebody would have sat me down and mentored me and said, hey, you're going to have to be okay with people not liking you or liking this, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say do that. I would say do the covers, make your own videos, show everybody your personality, and win fans independently. Don't do this to get a record deal. Do this because you love your songs and you want to give them to people. And if you focus that way, next thing you know, you'll be where you want to be.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And I hope you have a great first CMA Fest, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much,
thank you,
for having me.